have these gifts lavished upon us is just overwhelming. I mean, this morning I'm preaching from a new Bible because of you all, and not just a new Bible, but a Bible that's just means the world to me, and I thank you for it as well. And to say that this is the culmination of all we've done is quite the understatement, because not just the culmination, but it's the beginning of what we're going to do for the rest of the year for the cause of Christ. Amen. And so I thank you for coming. I realize many of you came late from work, straight here, gave up meals, all of these things to come. You were here night after night, and I appreciate it so much. It shows the importance that you put on reaching the world for Christ. Amen. You see these flags that are up representing nations and areas of service where missionaries are serving. This church believes in sending missionaries around the world. Amen. You should be glad you're part of a church that does that. Amen. Tonight, or this morning, tonight, I've already preached that long. This morning, I'd like to preach to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. This thing that we call our missions conference, there's an undergirding structure we call grace giving. I introduced the thought to you the other night about what is grace giving. It's the idea to say that grace influences our heart. And when grace influences our heart, it changes every part of us. Amen. Can you remember before you trusted Christ as your Savior and somebody cut you off in traffic? What you might have used to said. And now because of heaven's influence on your heart, hopefully you don't say the same things. Hopefully you say nicer things. Do you remember how you used to respond when someone was mean to you? Hopefully since Calvary, that changes. Do you remember how you used to treat your spouse before Calvary? Oh, it's a little quieter on that one now. Might need to spend a few minutes here. Dinner might be late. Hang on. Do you remember how you used to speak to your spouse before Calvary? And how grace touches your heart? And at least you know better how to treat your spouse. Do you remember how you young people, before salvation, you could rebel and not even realize why you were rebelling, but since Christ came in your life and the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you, your disposition has to change. Everything ought to be different about us in regard to how grace influences us. And our offering ought to be influenced by grace. Our giving ought to be influenced by grace. Well, what do you mean? How does my wallet get influenced by grace? Well, when your heart gets influenced by grace, it changes the way you think, it changes the way you feel, it changes the way you act, it changes the way you believe. And you know what I just did? I just gave you all 4 points of my sermon. Now I have to think of more stuff to say. Or maybe I could just explain more. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and as he writes to them, he's saying to them that there is this offering that we're going to take. It wasn't a collection for the church per se. It was actually a collection for a church in another area, and really believers in that community and others who would be affected. There was going to be a famine. That's a time of lack, a time of doing without, a time of starving and drought and such. And so the churches all around the area were understanding this need. And it really started from one guy whose name was Agabus, and he was in the book of Acts chapter 11 tells us he went to this church at Antioch, and he stood up and he said, God told me to tell you a famine's coming. And so in response to that famine, the church at Antioch and then other churches all heard about it and said, let's do something. Now, they all gave to their church for the for that specific need, but then there was a need that was beyond the borders of their church. And they said, how could we give to that? Well, the first church started it this way. They said, each of us will make commitments of that. Well, then they did. And each church started saving up money to help take care of this famine, because the famine wasn't happening right at that moment. It was going to happen. And so church by church, they decided, well, we'll do something. Let's say not far from us, our churches in Eastern North Carolina this morning, some have gone through great hardships. I know of a church in Newport. All their staff housing was destroyed. Means all of the church staff who lived on site lost all their houses. And as we hear these things, we say, well, what are we going to do? It's not like if we, it's going to be what are we going to do? It's your neighbor on your street whose house burned down that you didn't set the fire. But their house burns down. What do? You say, we're going to do something. It's not in question. And no matter what it is, you just simply say, well, that's a kindness to give. And this is where we get the name from, this grace offering. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let me take my grace Bible. Right? I didn't deserve it. And you guys gave it. Now I get to carry it around, and I like it. And it's pretty, and I'll $1 and I'll show you a page, $2. No. I'll show it to you gladly. Chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That word grace means God bless them to do something beyond themselves. When God bestowed grace on me for my salvation, it changed my eternal address. When God bestows grace on us and uses our wallets to be a blessing to others, that is a grace offering. And so now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we go to verse number four, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. So there is some gift that's going to be given. To where is the gift going? Jerusalem. Why? That was the center of where the famine was going to be. Verse six, we desired Titus that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. I'm kind of running through these because I touched on this on Friday night. But the idea is this, is that every church had a responsibility to choose whether they would give or not. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, are you saying that we have a famine to which we are giving? Well, it's different than a famine. We're using the same structure that they used. But instead of a famine, we just simply said, okay, you know how you have a bag? I went to Lidl the other day, and you know they charge you for bags at Lidl. I'm not bitter, just surprised. But that bag is just a bag. And you can haul home anything you can afford in that bag. Now, I bought some figs the other day when I was there. And they went bad in a day, so I brought them back. And when I looked at my receipt, they charged me for two bags. Now, mind you, it was only 10 cents. Seven for the paper, 10 for the plastic. And I said, you know, you charged me. She said, well, that was wrong of us to do. Can we refund you in cash? I said, yes, ma'am, 11 cents. That'll be fine. So I didn't buy a second bag. I just hauled the figs out of there. But in that bag, I can put anything. And the grace offering is a bag. And we can put anything in it. Their bag was for the famine. Well, who's in our bag? Or what's in our bag? Well, the gospel, our missionaries. We have missionaries that we are investing to go around the world and preach the gospel. So we have ourselves a bag. It's the grace offering bag. What we put in... No, we don't charge you to use the plates like at Lidl. It's a little more generous than that. But we're asking for you to say, hey, what are you going to put in the bag this year? You say, well, that's none of your business what I put in the bag. Okay, you're right. But the card we gave you, we don't even ask for names. He said, well, I could lie on that card. Mm-hmm, but I remind you, it's church. So he says, hey, I want Titus to come by there and help you get that bag, that grace offering bag filled, just like you said you would. Because that's what churches did. Each church made a commitment to give. So they get their bag together and Titus comes by and says, hey, I want you to make sure you got it ready. Go to chapter 9. Verse 1, Paul starts. For as touching the ministering to the saints, this is that gift to help with the famine. He says, and this is funny to me because he's going to say, it is superfluous for me. Where's Emily? What does superfluous mean? You skip sitting over here with all the cool kids and you're over there. Do you know what superfluous means? Does anybody? It's almost not necessary. That's what it means. It's almost not necessary. But then that just sounds like a parent, doesn't it? It's almost not necessary. I'm going to tell you this, but what does he do? I'm going to tell you anyway. Verse 1. It is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind. What does that mean? They were thinking ahead way back a year ago when they said they would commit in this offering. He said, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Macedonia was a region filled with extremely poor people that he referenced in chapter 8. And now he's referencing them again. And he said, I told you about Macedonia and I told Macedonia about you. And he said, I've bragged about you. Verse 2. That Achaia, that's another area, was ready a year ago. So we know there was this span of time from the announcement of Agabus until when the offering was taken, and now Paul was going to come by and pick up the grace bag for the famine. And now he says, your zeal. You see, the way you all have given, it's provoked very many. Amen. Yet I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be vain in this behalf. You say, why is Paul saying that? Well, he's dealt with humans before. We start off real well. We need help finishing.
That's right.
This is a people who've started more diets than finished. Right? You need some help to cross the finish line. That's what he said, I'm sending the brethren by. He said, because why? I don't want to have bragged on you, and then y'all drop the ball at the end. I told them that Corinth was giving this. And now they're going to come and see. And I don't want you all to be left. This is a pun, but it works real well. Holding. Now that was my line. And then you just jumped right on that. My license plate says struggle on the back of my bus. Here we go. Leave them holding the bag, but you already heard that. Verse 4, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this confident boasting. He said, I bragged on you. I want you to have the bag ready.
Amen.
Why? Because you said you would. He's not calling any individual out. He's just simply saying, you as a church said you would give this. The cards you got today is the way that we indicate to the church, this is what we're going to give. Now, why on earth would we need to know what you're going to give? Well, it would be just like if you're out in the work world and you get a job and you come home to your spouse and you say, this is what I got a job. And the spouse says, well, how much are you going to get paid? And they say, I'm not going to tell you. That'll be a surprise. And the spouse says, well, do I buy rice and beans or beans and rice? I don't know. Can we afford Can we afford beef, or do we look for moose from Alaska, or wherever they're from, Northwest Territories? I mean, what are we looking for? You say, no, the spouse needs to know. You have to plan your income. We're asking you to turn in a card without your name on it with an amount about which you've prayed and sought the Lord's face and said, this is what you can count on. Why? Because we already support, how many missionary families? 57? Already we support 57. And we've had more this week who said, could you help me too? And they haven't been duds, they've been good people. So then how do we make 5760 or 59 or however? How do we do that? We need to know. Are we going to be able to buy rice and beans? Are we going to be able to buy hamburger once a week? I mean, what are we going to be able to do? How do we say to them, okay, go? No, we want to be kind and fair to them. So he says, he said, I don't want to be ashamed that I bragged on you and then you didn't do it. Verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. Why? That they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. What's a bounty? Well, it is a generosity, but in the truest sense, let's say that somebody was wanted by the law, and the money was raised up to say, if you apprehend this accused, we will pay you a sum of money. That's a bounty. That sum of money is a bounty. Now, let's just say that Brother Jonathan was the bad guy, and you were the sheriff. And I gathered Brother Jonathan and brought him to you as the sheriff. And I said, Sheriff, you said the bounty was $100 a pound.
You're rich. This is a good day.
And you as the sheriff say back to me, I was only kidding about that. And I say back to you, Sheriff, I risked life and limb to drag him in here to be paid by the pound. No, a bounty is meaning you set aside that money to do something with. That bag of grace offering that we're receiving is money that we're going to say is going to be there. And since we say it's going to be there, we want to make sure it's there. Now, Brother Jonathan and I, because we're men of girth and weight, we can kid like this. This is not an insult to him in any way. I can out-eat him, though. I got ribs last night with Brother Jonathan, and I finished before he did, and he had help. Before the Lord, that's the truth. So he says in verse 5, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go beforehand and make up beforehand your bounty. When we receive those cards, we're putting that into a pile of money to pay out every month to give for the advancement of the gospel. I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, preacher. You're the only one I can turn to at this moment that I think knows the answer. Those 57 families and ministries to which we give, what is that total sum of money? Do you know right off the top of your head? Or would the... About $5,000 a month. That's what we've said we would send out. You say $5,000 a month? What on earth are we doing spending that much money? Obeying Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God.
Showing how grace influenced our hearts.
Yep.
And how grace influenced our wallets.
Yep.
And we say, I know what it means to go to heaven when I die. And I want others all in on that. And so therefore, yes, we do. Without any shame, say we give $5,000 a month to missions.
Amen.
No problem.
Amen.
You say, well, we're doing pretty good. Now, there are people in church. What's your name? Is it Jerry? No, Steve.
Jerry's over there on Ken.
Ken. There was a Jerry, standing, Ken, and Steve on my list, so yeah. I was trying to remember which you were.
I'm the black sheep.
How long you been in church?
Since I was four.
Four. So at least a week. Does that have any years come to it? I mean, do you have anything that comes to mind for math on that?
56 years.
56 years. So if you've been in church 56 years, I imagine you've come across people who are against missions.
Here and there, yeah.
Here and there. Where they, it's like $60,000. You know what we could do with that? Or people will say, I don't like our missionaries. Folks even say, I don't even like our pastor. Don't point.
I love my pastor.
Good place to say that. But the truth is that there are people who take a non-gracious stance toward missions.
Yes.
And if grace hasn't influenced someone's heart, I'd understand why they're hard and ornery about giving to missions. You say, well, Brother O'Malley, I think I just thought through what you were saying. Good. What I'm saying, for those who didn't grasp that, is if you're fighting against the missions program of this church, I'm challenging you on how much grace has influenced your heart. Say, you can't do that. Uh-huh. You say, well, I feel so guilty about that. Only if you're wrong. If it doesn't bother you, you just smile and say, yeah, amen. You see, what Paul was saying to them is, we've got this bag, and we're going to take this bag. It's a grace bag. And in that, we've put money to take to those who will be starving in the famine. Well, Sharon Baptist Church has got a bag. And inside that bag, we're putting money. Why? Because we believe every person on earth needs to hear the gospel. And so we found 60 missionaries who will take that money from that bag and go use it for His honor and glory. And I say, pass the bag. I want to have part in the bag. None of y'all say anything about old bags. Just keep thinking past that. Verse 6. But this I say. Let me get you to focus on four thoughts with me this morning, okay? Maybe five. When grace influences my giving, it changes my mind. Now, if you're writing stuff down in your notebook or even keeping score, boys are ahead. They lost miserably. I mean, the girls lost miserably on Friday night. All because you weren't here to help them with the scoring. Because scorekeeping was left to me. And who did you text on Instagram and said that you wasn't going to be here to get someone to help? Miss Diana, did you keep score? No, because I didn't let her. But I did say, because you didn't message me, it didn't count. Verse 6. But this I say, here's when grace changes the way I give. Verse 6. It changes the way I think. Watch. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Comparing the two gauges of giving, you are either giving sparingly or you're giving bountifully. That is to say, a little or a lot. Now, I have absolutely no agricultural skills. None. My best opportunity for harvesting is at Kroger. Just to let you know. But I thought I'm going to try this gardening thing. I bought a book. Who laughed at my book? Come on. I showed up at 8 o'clock to talk to your bus workers, and you're going to mock me for buying a book about gardening. And so I bought a book, and then I bought a kit, and he said, you got 4 feet by 4 feet, and you put 9 lines in between 3 boxes each, 3 across, 3 across, 3 across, and you now have a square foot garden, and you're going to plant green beans, and you put 9 green bean seeds in one of the holes, and when you put 9 green bean seeds in one of the holes, those plants are going to come up, and you put stakes in the ground, and you do it. Out of the 9 seeds I put into that one hole, this is my story. Now stop. I'll have you to know 3 came up.
Amen. Glory to God.
And of those 3, 1 green bean. When you see the size of me and the size of my son and my precious little wife, that 1 green bean was not going to cut it. But had I wanted a bunch of green beans, I should have sown a bunch of green beans. Because if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. But if I sow bountifully, I will reap bountifully. Grace changes the way I think about giving. I fill out that card and say, how am I going to sow today? Bountifully? Sparingly. Can I help you with the math on this? I sow in dollars, I reap in souls. Number 2. The second thing I want you to see tonight, this morning, is in verse number 7. Grace changes my heart about giving. 1, it changes my mind, verse 6. Verse 7, it changes my heart. Notice what he says. Every man, so how many people would that be, Emily, since you stood us up? How many people is every man? Well, it's all exactly right. Everybody. Or if you are really from the South, all y'all. Right? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You say, well, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't think with our heart. But when you told your spouse, I love you with all my what? You didn't say kidneys. You didn't say brain. You didn't say toenails. What'd you say? I love you with all of my heart. Why? Because that's how you express the seat of your emotions. So when grace influences my giving, it changes my heart. I decide inside my heart, I want to give in the grace offering. Number 3, verse 7, when grace influences my giving, it changes my attitude. How old are you?
12.
How old are you?
14.
11, 12, 13, 14, what? 12, I remember. 12. Where are all my teenagers? What kind of stuff is this? Abandoning me. You've led a revolt. Lily, how old are you? 17. Emily, how old are you? Teen. See, the word teen. I needed that word teen. Lily, has your mother ever said something to you about your attitude. Both mama and daughter are shaken in unison. Emily, has anyone ever spoken to you about your attitude before? Yes.
It's very close.
Papaw has an attitude problem too? Oh. Because usually sinners produce sinners, yeah. Attitude, it's everything. And when grace influences our attitude, we don't give in the grace bag grudgingly or of necessity, but rather our attitude is described with the word cheerful. Now, I can't believe any of the teenagers of our church would ever have an attitude problem. I believe the absolute best of all of them. But were I to venture a guess, it would be quite easy for them to get bad attitudes about things because they've watched you. Emily, I would not try to pull this off. It's easier for an adult to say this to an adult, to say, look, I got my bad attitude from you. Don't try that. It doesn't work. But I'll say this to you. If you're a grumpy giver, it's because you're not letting grace influence your giving. There ought to be a joy when we say, hey, the grace bag is being passed. You say, whoa! Did I scare you? I didn't mean to. But if you was paying attention, you wouldn't have jumped. You cheer, you say, wow, the grace bag is being passed. That's cheerful. I don't do cheerful. You do about something. You do cheerful about something, so don't tell me you don't. And you say, well, I don't about giving. And that's because you're not letting grace influence your wallet.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Grace giving changes my mind, how I think, changes my heart, how I feel, changes my attitude, how I respond. Now, I can't imagine that we would ever have one grumpy giver here at this church, but just in case, I'll remind you, if there are grouchy givers, did you say you know any of them? It's the cheerful liver, the cheerful liver. The cheerful giver God loves. You try to say all these words one Sunday morning and not make a boo-boo. Verse 8. So it changes, we go back to 6. It changes my mind, how I think. Changes my heart, verse 7, how I feel. Changes my attitude, how I respond, verse 8. And God is able to make, well, in anything that comes after and God is able is going to be helpful, isn't it?
That's right. Amen.
No matter what it is.
Right.
And God is able, what? To make all grace, whoa, there's that word again. That's not salvation grace. That's this offering grace. So when the grace bag comes by your way, you're able to look at that and say, God's able to give me stuff to put in that bag. And so when we talk to you about the card, stewardship card that you get, and you look at that, you realize, what is God able to do? God is able to make all grace, the ability to put it in the bag, abound toward me. You mean to say God can give to me so I can give in the bag? Yep.
That's right. Amen, brother. Amen.
And then what? That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What does that mean? God gives to me. I give to others. You say, well, how am I going to make it? That ye always, That means there's not ever going to be a time that ye always, having all sufficiency, meaning that you will never lack when you put out on God's account. Every time it's time to put it in the bag, He has it there for you. That's what this grace offering is about. That's why we're giving to missions. They gave because of a famine. We are giving because that we want to send out more missionaries around the world. The more dollars we give, the more gospel is sown, the more souls that are reaped. So that's why we have the guard. Check your head. When grace givers, their thoughts are influenced, their hearts influenced, how they respond, their attitude is influenced, and their faith is influenced, their capacity to trust God. The church is not asking you to give because it's looking to get rich. The church is asking you to give in obedience to Christ. You'll get a card this morning. You probably already have it. The first one up at the top says tithe. Now, I can help you with the amount to put on this blank. Your monthly income or weekly income or biweekly, however you're paid, or just weekly, W-E-A-K-L-E-Y-L-Y, however you're paid, 10% goes to God.
That's right. Amen.
So, you realize how much that is? Well, not really exactly know how much it is, but I know how much 10% is. And if you think that that's too much to give, we can just pray God reduces your income until you can afford it. God doesn't want to strain on you now. I mean, just, but 10% is obedience to Him. Grace giving, that's the grace bag. What do we do with the grace bag? We give to missions. You say, well, can I split up that tithe into a 5% into the tithe, 5% in the missions? That would qualify you for God robber. Not my word, His. So the 10%, that's fixed. Grace offering, that has no limit. And it has no restriction. It has no end. You see, God's laying on my heart to give $55 a week. Go for it.
Amen.
God's laying on my heart to give $500 a week. Go for it.
Amen.
Because God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Yep. God gives to us, we give to the grace offering bag.
Amen.
The other building project, and then the total. If you can't do the total, we've got people who know math here. They're not the same people who keep score, Emily. What are you going to do? If your response is, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to take that card that they gave me and I'm going to put that thing in there blank and I'm done. It's okay. Just one thing before you check out on us. When grace influences you, giving is not an issue. Today, may your prayer be, God, please influence my mind, my heart, my attitude, and my faith in this matter of giving. Would you stand with me? Your Father, this morning, we've heard from your word